You've been on a long and troubled road. At times you felt cheated to have to bear this load, while others who would barely even try would spread their wings like eagles and soar into the sky.
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again.
This guilty burden you have had to bear has made your life so weary, even though others aren't aware of the mountain of mistakes you've tried to hide.
With a smile on your face and a broken heart inside, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who he is and because of where he's been, because of what he's done, you can start all over again. It doesn't matter what you've done, but because of what he's done, you can start all over
again.
Start all over again.
Thank you, ladies. There is some biblical truth to that song, and I'm thankful for that truth. You have your Bible open to Genesis chapter 34. I want to speak to you tonight on a very important subject. It's not a very popular subject, but I've, through the years, learned that it's not really important what's popular, it's what's right. And what's truth? And we need to preach the whole counsel of God. Genesis 34 is a dark chapter. As a matter of fact, you won't find the word God in all the chapter. Now, when you get over to chapter 35, you'll find the name of God and its form in 10 times in the chapter. Jacob's made some steps in the wrong direction. God, if you'll hold your place in chapter 34 here just for a moment, you can go back to chapter 31 and see where God in verse number 13 had appeared to Jacob and said, "Now Jacob, this is what I want you to do." Now I'm glad that God always gives us instruction, but he expects us to follow that instruction, and when we don't follow that instruction, brethren, there's going to be consequences. Now, God is merciful, and aren't we glad that he is? And all God's people said. But now God has some expectations of his people. And tonight I'm going to speak to parents in particular. God has some expectation of us parents. And I hear a lot of people who they look at the children of today and they say, "My, how children of today have changed. I don't think it's the children that have changed. I think it's the lack of parenting. That's what's changed. See, the parenting is different than what it was 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And because of that, we're seeing a generation that's different. Now, I'm very grateful for the parents that we have in our congregation. And before I get too deep into the message, I want to make it very clear that I haven't written any books on parenting. I really don't intend on doing that in case God leads me differently. We have a good book on parenting. You hold it in your hand if you have your good King James Bible. I'm not saying that we can't learn from others and other material, but I believe this book will teach you about everything you need to know about parenting. I really do. Now, there are no perfect parents. You can say amen right there. There are no perfect parents. Thus, there are no perfect children. But we do have a responsibility. Parenting has its thrills, but it also has its tears, right? Parenting is a great joy. And there's great reward in parenting. But there's also great responsibility. And I'm going to challenge you parents here tonight. And I want to be a part of that challenge in my own heart. I don't claim to be an authority on parenting, but I have a book that is. And you do as well. And sometimes it's not a lack of resources or information that causes some deficiency or some things to fail. It's the lack of application of the resources and the information that we have. And so I want to just challenge you and charge you about being a good, responsible parent, so that when you get to your old age, you won't have to look back and regret what you could have done or should have done. Now, you're going to do that anyway, but you certainly don't want a life filled with that. Now, here God told Jacob in Genesis 31, he said in verse number 13, look at it, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. God said, I want you to go back to Bethel. And Jacob headed that in that direction. But when we get over to chapter number 33, we find in the latter part that Jacob journeyed, in verse number 17 of chapter 33, he journeyed to Succoth. And he built him a house there. And then he journeyed from there. You'll see where he, in verse number 19, he bought a parcel of field right there in the area of where Shechem was. And he got mixed up with some wrong people. And that's not a hard thing to do. Now, you may be sitting under the sound of my voice and think, well, you know, preacher, I'd never do that. I'd never get mixed up with the wrong crowd. I'd never get mixed up with the wrong people. I'd never get out in the world. Well, I hope you don't. But don't think that it can't happen now. Don't think that it can't happen. It can happen. And we have to take precautionary measures. And we have to do our checks and balances. We have to be held accountable, and we have to be responsible. And we have to do the hard thing. Sometimes it's, you know, life is not just built on making easy, flippant decisions. We have to make tough decisions, and sometimes they will include our families, and sometimes they will include our children. And so here is Jacob, and the Bible says in verse number 19 that he bought a parcel of field, and where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. Now watch this next verse, and it says that there he erected an altar and called it Elohi Israel. In other words, I want everyone to know that my God is the God of Israel. I want everyone to know that. However, from what his altar stated and what his life stated was two different things. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves building an altar, going to church, and just living exactly different than what the Word of God says. See, an altar is a place of sacrifice. But God is not necessarily all interested in sacrifice. See, God's interested in obedience. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. Somewhere along the line, I think we've got that mixed up. And we've lost our vision on what God is after. Well, you know, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to be in church. And I think it's a wonderful thing to be in church. I do. I do. And I don't think we ought to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But now, if it's just become a ritual to us, if it's just something we do, if we're just doing the church thing, then listen, brethren, it's not real. And there'll be no change. There'll be no real drive. There'll be no passion in our life to do what God says. And so our Christian experience, our Christian life should be more than just doing church. There should be a communion and a relationship and a desire to know what God has said so that we can obey what God has said. Now, are we going to be perfect? I don't think I have to answer that question. I think you know the answer to that question. But it doesn't mean we can't strive for the excellency of the knowledge which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't put our best foot forward and do our very best, not only in our own lives, but to encourage our children and grandchildren to do the same, and our brethren across our congregation here to do the same. There should be nothing wrong with me or some other brother in this church coming up to you, brother, and putting my hand on your shoulder and saying, you know what? I noticed you're slacking a little. You should not be offended at that if it's done in the spirit of love. Say amen now. And sometimes I think that we've gotten so defensive. We talk about the snowflakes and the people that melt down in this world, but if we're not careful, we'll be that way in the church. When someone says the least little thing that maybe goes against the grain and challenges us, we feel like, well, you know, he's picking on me. Well, he might be trying to help you. Maybe he loves you. Now, here's a situation where a man remains silent when he should have spoke up. You ever done that? You ever felt nudged of God to speak up and say something? Say, I'm just going to stay out of it. Right? I think probably everybody in here has done that. To where God just, listen, God put the responsibility, God put the burden on your heart to speak up and say something. Now, Jacob should have done it as a father. But I want you to notice what the Bible says here in verse number 5, because I think this is the key that's going to unlock this whole chapter. Look at verse number 5. The latter part of it says, Jacob held his peace until they were come. He remained silent. And when you go through this chapter, you'll find that there were many opportunities when Jacob should have spoke up and took charge as the head of his home and the priest of his family. But he didn't do it. He took a back seat. Maybe he had the mentality of a lot of folks in our society today. Well, I'll get the old lady to take care of it. Right? The old lady will take care of the children. I'm bringing home the bacon. Me and the boys are out in the field working, and I'll let the old lady deal with the discipline of the children and the training of the children. Shame on you, sir. I'm not trying to embarrass you, I'm not. Step up. Be a leader. Be a father. Be a husband. Be a servant of God and lead your family. Don't be silent. Jacob was silent, and we're going to point out many times when Jacob should have spoke up, but you know, he said nothing. He said nothing. I'm afraid if we're not careful, we're going to lose our families. Many have already. You know how? They said nothing. They said nothing. We're losing our country. You know how? We're saying nothing. We're saying nothing. We've quit speaking. We've quit being heard. Now, I realize there's a time to speak. The Bible teaches there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. I understand that. But when it's the time to speak, we need to speak. And speak the truth. And do it in love. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. There's nothing wrong with confrontation as long as it's done in the right spirit. Now, look at verse number 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. Well, Jacob then moved into a wrong community. He's got his family too close to the world. He's not close enough to Bethel, and he's too close to the world to where his children now have gotten inquisitive. We want to be like the world. We want to see what's going on out there in the world. You say, oh, preacher, you know, children won't do that. Don't you fool yourself. Not only will children do it, you'll do it. I'll do it. There is an attraction. There is an appeal. There is a draw about sin. There's something about the world and sin that this old flesh, listen, there's a draw to it. The songwriter said, prone to wonder. Aren't we? Say, oh, not me, preacher. Listen, that's that Peter syndrome. You beware of that Peter syndrome now. Not me, preacher. Oh, yes, you. Me. If you've got a robe of flesh, and you do, or you wouldn't be here, not breathing anyway. Okay, somebody rolled you in, and I can't see everyone, but I think everyone in here has a robe of flesh, then you can be drawn, lured, enticed. It's a reality. And as parents, we have began to treat our children like adults. Well, we'll let the children make the decision. Phooey! Well, we got to teach them how to make decisions on their own. Well, let them watch you make good, sound decisions. That's a great way to teach them. Say amen with me. But don't you put it in their hands. They're not ready for that yet. The Bible says, train them up. Teach them. Not hand it over to them. You say, preacher, you look a little riled. You look a little mad. I'm mad at the devil. We are being bombarded. And I want to try to warn you about some things. Look at this story very carefully. The Bible says that Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land. Where's Jacob? Where's Daddy? He's silent. Where's Daddy saying, Dinah, that's not a good idea. Dinah, you're not going to do that. Where's the guidelines? Where's the parameters? The Bible says in verse number 2, when Shechem, which was the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. Listen, I'm not going to get in detail because we're in mixed company, because we have children, but that was force. You read it. You say, was it Daddy's fault? No, it was just Shechem's fault. But Daddy should have been there to tell her no. He should have been a voice on the pathway of her life. He was her father. That doesn't excuse Shechem. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying here tonight. But Daddy should have spoke up and been a leader. You know, when I read this chapter, I see so many things. The first thing I want you to write down is this. As a father, really as parents, they fail to control their children. And it wasn't just Dinah. When you look at what the sons, Simeon and Levi, when you look what they done, they deceived these people and they murdered, they spoiled, they plundered their land. So, well, they deserved it for what they did. Well, now, that's a whole nother subject. But two wrongs don't make a right. So I'm going to teach my children that. You're going to mess up what you're going to do. And so the Bible says right here that he defiled her. By the way, that's mentioned three times. And the scripture says in verse number 5, when Jacob heard it, that his daughter had been defiled, his sons were out with the cattle with the field, but he held his peace until they were come. Didn't want to make a decision. Well, I tell you, it sounds like a lot of men today. Can't make a decision. Make a decision for your family. Speak up. There's nothing wrong with telling your children no. No's not a bad word. No's not a curse word. Speak up. Notice what the scripture goes on to say. In him controlling, he failed to control his children. Notice what happens here. By the way, it wasn't just Jacob in this. Look at verse 4. This is just, if this is not today's society, notice what this Shechem does. Shechem, in verse number 4, spake unto his father Hamor, saying, get me this damsel to wife, Daddy. Get me this damsel. Daddy, get me this, and Daddy, get me that, and Daddy, get me this. Oh, yes, son, anything you want. Right? Hey, brethren, that's what's happening here. And we have to guard against this. You say, oh, I'm not doing that, preacher. Listen, can I tell you that many of us are blind to the sins of our children? Now listen to me. There are folks that have come to me, and I've done it myself, and began to say, have you noticed so-and-so? And they'll begin to tell me about so-and-so, and they're doing it themselves. But you know what? They're blind to it. They're blind to it. So don't think now you're not blind to the sins of your family. Don't think that you, listen, everybody else sees it, but you can't see it. There's just something about it if we're not careful. That's why we need somebody that will be brutally honest with us and say, you know what? And just tell it to us in love. There's nothing wrong with that. You need that. I need that. We need this in our lives. Jacob should have spoke up. He didn't. And so the Bible says, and if you look down in verse number 7, the scripture says that, verse number 6, Hamor, the father of Shechem, went out unto Jacob to commune with him. He wanted to speak to him about this matter. He had a little deal he wanted to work out. Basically, and I'm not going to get into detail in this, basically what he's going to do here is he's going to try to cut a deal with him, pay him dowry, and he's going to say, you know what, we'll just marry your daughters and you marry our daughters. And Satan's behind it all because he was trying to corrupt the seed in which Christ would come. That's ultimately what's all, listen, Satan's ultimately behind all of these things, brethren. And we cannot fail to see this. He is ultimately behind it all. And here's a man that failed to control his children. His children, if you'll look in verse number 7, when they came home from the field, when they heard it, they were grieved, they were very wroth. Because in the latter part of verse number 7, the thing ought not to be done. And they began, the sons of Jacob, in verse number 13, they answered Shechem. All right? Who should have been answering Shechem? Not the sons. Where's Jacob? Silent. See, he cut this deal and said, we'll do this and we'll do that and pay the dowry. And the guy just kept on saying, look at the latter part of verse number 12, but give me the damsel to wife. Give me, give me, give me. Little prince. All right, give me, give me. We're raising a generation just like this. No work, no responsibility. Don't have to earn anything. Just give me, give me, give me. And we have got to change the way we approach life and training up our young folks, brethren. We've got to do it. And the scripture says in verse number 13 that the sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully because he had defiled Dinah, their sister. Now, where's Jacob? They're going to cut a deal. Jacob should have been there saying, boys, here's what I need you to do. I need you going out to the field somewhere or back to the house. I'm the dad. I'm the father. I'm taking care of this situation. Amen. But he was silent again. He was silent when his daughter was going to go out and be a part of the world. He was silent when his sons came to him and said, hey, you know what? We don't like what happened. And I understand that. I get that. Don't misunderstand me. I get their anger. I get why they're upset. But that they should never have been given that position to stand in. That's Jacob's place. Don't ever give your children what is your place. Don't ever give that to your wife. Don't you ever give it to anyone. By the way, fathers need to be in charge of controlling their children. Your children ought not be running around everywhere doing things you don't know where they are and who they're with. Say amen with me. You ought to know who your children's with. You ought to know where they're at. You say, oh, well, preacher, that's invasion of their privacy. Oh, come on. You gonna buy their meals and be their parent and pay the bills and give them a place to sleep and clothes to put on their back, and you're talking about invasion of privacy? Where does that stuff come from? The liberal left. Right out of hell. Control your children. Say, preacher, are our children today being controlled? Well, I don't think I have to go into this, but I would like to share something with you. Back in the 50s, teachers were asked, what's the major problems you're having in school? Listen carefully now. Talking in class. Bad. Talking in class. Chewing gum. Running in the hallways. Shooting spitballs. I've been guilty of that a few times. Hey, man. Bunch of sinners. Not putting trash in the wastebasket. The same question was posed to a group of teachers in 2014, and here's the answers. Molestation. Fondling, groping, thievery, assault, drugs, violence. Boy, children sure have changed. Oh, you've got it all mixed up. We've quit parenting children. We've quit parenting children. See, back in the day, parents were parents. And I'm going to show you what Jacob's main problem was here in just a moment. But Jacob didn't have control of his children. I want to ask you a question, Dad, Mom. I want you to listen very carefully. Answer this question honestly. I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus here. I want to help you. Who's in control? You or them? Really? Who's in control? I remember, and I haven't forgot which child or grandchild it was, we made an announcement of the birth of a child or grandchild, and some friend of the family said, don't forget who's in charge. Oh, I haven't. What she meant is they're in charge. No child's in charge when dad's around. Amen. Take charge of your family. Know who they're with. Know where they are. Know what they're doing. So I don't want to be too strict on them, preacher, to run them away. Run them away from what? The devil? Run them away from, look at verse number 1 again. Run them away from the daughters of the land? Is that what it's going to run them away from? Control your children. Don't be the permissive parent. Satan in the world has bombarded our culture through television. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to move on from this point. But this is so important. As parents and grandparents, we have been bombarded with media and junk food. Now listen to me. Junk food. To where kids, you're going to think I'm crazy here. All right? I'm going to share something with you that if you don't already think I'm crazy, this is going to seal the deal right here. When I was growing up, we were forbidden to just run into the kitchen and open up the refrigerator and get something. We had to ask permission. We didn't eat between meals. We are being bombarded with junk food, media, just cursing and violence and sexuality, sexual innuendos, music. And some parents call themselves Christians listening to that stuff, watching that stuff, and then wonder why there's rebellion bound in the heart of your children. I'll tell you why. Because of that stuff. That stuff. Sometimes we just have to learn how to flip a knob, Brother Richard. Sometimes we just have to learn how to cut it off and say, nope, not going to have that cesspool in this home. We're not going to listen to that trash. That contemporary Christian music, that's garbage. Listen, you say, can you find that in the Bible? Yeah, Exodus. Book of Exodus. They were up dancing. They were worshiping, but the wrong God. To music. Read it. That wasn't the music that was offered at the dedication of the temple. Been around for a long time, brethren. This is not new stuff. This stuff's been, hey, the devil's been around a long time. He's just kind of reinventing some things and bringing it to, putting a little twist on it. Still coming at us with the same stuff. We've got folks that spend less time with their children while the television's raising their children. They're on Facebook while their children's in there watching God only knows what on TV now. We got folks buying their 10, 11-year-old children smartphones, $600 smartphones. Have no clue what they're on. No clue what's going on. Brethren, that's not good parenting. I'm not trying to be mean here. We have got to draw some lines. We've got to have some guidelines. Oh, a preacher, my children can take it. Your children cannot take it. They're children. They need some guidance and some teaching, some instruction. If you have a child that lives in your home, you ought to have some parental guidelines. If they have any of that stuff, media, Instagram, Facebook, you ought to have access to it, or you ought to have parental, whatever they call it, the guardian, to where they just can't access certain things. You say, I just think that's so invasive. I think it's so safe. I think it's so wise. I can hear Jacob now as we one more time review verse number 1 before we move on. I can hear him now if somebody says, now Jacob, are you sure that that's a good place for your daughter to be? Oh, I trust my daughter. I trust her. We brought her up good and everything, you know. I trust her. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. And I don't even trust myself. I'm going to trust you. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications corrupt good manners. You have to be careful now. You have to be careful. You're letting your young folks date? You better watch them now. Listen to me. You got your young folks on smartphones and internet? You better watch that stuff. You better watch that stuff, Dad. Listen to me. Oh, well, my son would never do that. Your son's got, listen, he's got what you've got. That's kind of straight talk, preacher. That's what we need. We just need to be made aware of some things here. This is serious here. It's serious. And I just want to help you be a better parent. That's all. Jacob held his peace. He found out about it. And he got mad. Look at verse number 7. It says that when the men heard it, they were grieved and they were very wroth. Oh, I'm mad. I'm spitting mad. I'm so mad. I'm going to say nothing. Right? Is that what happened, brethren? I'm so mad that happened to one of my children. I can't believe he done that. I'm so mad. I'm going to say nothing. Verse number 13, it came his time to say something, but his son said it. The sons of Jacob answered Shechem. Said, we'll take it from here, Dad. You know why? They lost all confidence that Dad was going to say or do anything. That's why. You going to lose your children? Be silent. Don't speak up. Don't take a lead. Don't be the man. Don't be the person that God put you in that home to be. You'll lose your children every time. It's happening. And I don't want it to happen to you. It doesn't have to. It doesn't. I'm going to read you something just quickly. That I found when I was doing a little research about parenting and just change and things. And this is not an independent Baptist. It's not a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist site. Probably a little less conservative than what we would be, but yet they understand the importance of parenting and having some guidelines and some restrictions. Well, preacher, I tell you right now, I just don't want to be as strict on my children as was on me. Well, you seem to have turned out pretty good. You know, a lot of people say that. Anybody around my age hearing that a lot these days? Oh, I just don't want them to have to go through what I went through. Well, it seemed to have worked out pretty good for you. I don't want them to have to work like I did, preacher. Boy, I had to work every day. Aw, really? Every day? Wow. Every day? Wow. Man, I had to pay my own way. Aw. You had to actually pay for stuff you got? Wow. How did you ever make it? And yet we have parents today, listen to me, we have parents today who are embracing the mindset, well, I don't want them to have to go through what I went through. I understand, listen, if you were from an abusive home, don't you misunderstand what I'm saying now. If you were from an abusive home and you were mistreated, I get it. You certainly don't want your children to go through that. No child should be abused. Say amen now. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about character building. I'm talking about training up servants of God, training up people who want to do right, and training up people who can be a contributor to their community and to the church and to the kingdom of God. So don't mistake what I'm saying. 12 ways that you can ensure that your child's going to spend some time in a penitentiary. When your child is still young, give him everything he wants. This way, he thinks the world owes him everything when he grows up. When he picks up cussing and swearing and off-color jokes, laugh at him, encourage him. When he grows up, he'll pick up cuter phrases that will floor you. Never give him any spiritual training. I can't tell you how many times I've had people, I don't know if we want them to go down there to the church or not, preacher. You know, they're not old enough to make their decision. And I tell you, when I was a kid, my parents drug me to church, and it's just turned me against church. And I just don't know if I want to make my children do anything they don't want to do. You know, I don't know too many children that just run to the bathroom and want to brush their teeth. But I guarantee you make them do it. There's just some things you have to make children do. There's nothing wrong with making your children come to Sunday school. As a matter of fact, something's not right if you constantly have to do that. Something's not right in the home. Never give him any spiritual training. Wait until he's 18 to 21, then let him decide for himself. Avoid using the word wrong or no. It will give your child a guilt complex. You can condition him to believe later when he is arrested for stealing a car that society is against him and he's being persecuted. Pick up after him. His books, his shoes, his clothes, just anything. Do everything for him so he will be experienced in throwing all responsibility on others. Let him read all printed material he can get his hands on. Never think of monitoring his television or music or friends or media. Sterilize the software or sterilize the silverware that he eats with, but let him feast his mind on all the garbage that he wants. Isn't that something? Well, if our child went out in the yard, we called them to dinner, and they come in and got their utensil they're going to eat with, went out there and just rubbed it through the mud and then came in and said, I'm going to eat with this. We'd say, hey, put that down, or try to scald it off. We'll let them watch about anything go in their ear and eye gate and mind. It's the devil, brother. You got to wake up. It's serious business. Quarrel frequently in his presence, and then he won't be too surprised when his home is broken up later, or he feels like that he wants to jump in there with you and shout you down. Satisfies every craving for food, drink, and comfort. Every sensual desire must be gratified. Denial may lead to harmful frustrations. Give your child all the spending money he wants. Don't make him earn his own. Why should he have things as tough as you did? Take his side against the neighbors, the teachers, the policemen. They're all against him. When he gets into real trouble, make up excuses for yourself by saying, I never could do anything with that boy. He's just a bad seed. Reminds me of a time when me and a fellow deacon of mine were in a, grocery store, and there's this little fella in there, and I mean, he was, a tyrant. He was just running and just literally now taking his hand and just running down and just throwing canned food in the floor. I said, hey, whoa. And his mom come up and said, I'm sorry. She said, I tell you, she said, he's just uncontrollable. And my deacon that was with me, he had a cane in his hand. He was walking on a cane. He took his cane, he looked at her, and he said, no, ma'am, he's uncontrolled. That's the truth. See, we want to act like the children are uncontrollable. They're uncontrolled, brethren. Well, they're unteachable. No, they're untaught. See, we have this way of wanting to make it on them, right? Instead of bearing the shoulder and shouldering responsibility. Well, let me give you this, and then I'll be through. So, he failed to control his children. He was silent. I could go through here. Let me give you just times where he was silent. Look, if you would, in verse number. When the sons of Jacob, in verse number 13, when they answered Hamor, Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, and said, because he hath defiled Dinah, their sister. And they said unto them, we cannot do this thing to give our sister to one that is uncircumcised, for that were a reproach unto us. And so I'm not going to go into detail. You ought to read this sometime. They said, if all of y'all get circumcised, then we'll give you our sister. They had a deceitful plan that what they were going to do was when they were recovering from the surgery, the circumcision, that they were going to go in and slaughter the whole bunch of them, plunder their city, and take their wives and children. Guess what Jacob said? Nothing. Nothing. Well, they're grown boys now, preacher. I can't hardly tell them what to do. I like what Brother Tackholm said. My son's taller than me, but he can't whip me. See, and I understand the corporal punishment, it comes to a close, but instruction never ceases. We're always instructing and guiding and advising. And here's Jacob had an opportunity now to step up, and when his sons were going to do something, I mean, listen, it was wrong. Any way you slice it, it was wrong. You say, but preacher, they raped those boys' sister. Oh, I know what he done was wrong. And I'd have probably wanted to do what her brothers wanted to do. And you would have too, by the way. But what's Jacob teaching? What's he teaching? You know the only time that Jacob speaks in this? So number one, he didn't control his children. Number two, he didn't command his children. He had an opportunity to speak up, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it. He didn't speak up and say, hey, boys, this is wrong. Listen, what happened to your daughter's wrong, and I accept full responsibility. But Jacob wasn't willing to accept full responsibility. Wasn't willing to do that. He let his children just talk right over him. I think it's just, it says a lot when, in verse number 13, when this man speaks up, and he begins to talk to Jacob about the situation. And then in verse number 13, the sons of Jacob answered. I think it says a lot that Jacob allowed that. He should have told those boys right then. Hey, let me say this, parents, before I move on about commanding your children. Don't ever let your children talk back to you. Don't ever allow that. As a matter of fact, again, you're going to think the preacher's crazy, but that's all right. I don't even let, listen, when mine were growing up, I didn't even want them looking cross-eyed at me. I give you a command, I just need you to get to it, all right? We don't need to have no discussion about that. If you have any questions, we'll talk about that when it's done. Oh, well, you're just too hard on them. Yeah, I know. We've got a bunch of sissies. We really have. Running our country, running our churches, working in our workplaces. Can't tell anybody to do. They just break down. Just break down. Oh, he's picking on me. Oh. Don't ever let your children talk back to you. Don't let them smart mouth you. Now, that's what we used to call it. I don't know what they call it now. They still call it smart mouth. Don't ever let your children smart mouth you. Don't let them roll their eyes at you. You say, "Preacher, are you serious?" I'm serious. You tell your child to do something, what? That don't fly around here, son. We're not going to be having that. I don't want to. I didn't ask you what you wanted to do. You get in there and do that. I did not put that in the form of a question. Right? Listen, you say, "Well, you sound rather abusive." No, I'm just in charge. I'm a parent. And when I was parenting, I was a parent. Get the parenting. You're a parent, get the parenting. Amen. Right, folks? This is not too hard, is it? You know what's hard on? Those who are not willing to parent. Those who have already made up in their mind, "I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be a donor and have the children, but I'm not going to get involved in training and teaching and rearing and directing their lives." Be a parent. I'm trying to help you. I really am. You say, "It sounds rough, preacher." Oh, I know it does. But it's because it's so important. It's important. We've got to parent our children. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. We've got to understand about guidelines and saying no and instruction and expectations. These things are important. Jacob didn't do it. He stayed silent. He number one, he didn't control. Number two, he didn't command. When he had the opportunity to speak up, he didn't do it. But then finally, he didn't correct. I want you to notice what happens in verse number 30. In verse number 30, they went in now. His sons, he let them do it. They went in. You ought to read this sometime. Went in, killed those men, took their wives and children and their cattle and plundered, and took the spoil of their cities. And the Bible says in verse number 30, "And Jacob said," oh, he's going to say something now. He's going to break his silence. All right? Here is the number one reason that I'm finding as a pastor now for poor parenting. So please don't miss this. Jacob had it. Look at verse 30 with me, and I want you to notice a reoccurring pronoun. "And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, 'Ye have troubled me.'" "To make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I, being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." Jacob really concerned about himself, wasn't he? This is the number one reason that I'm finding as a pastor now over all these years of poor parenting. It's not that we don't have the resources. It's not that we don't have the material out there, the reading material, the help, the ministries to help people, the teaching from the pulpit. It's selfishness. Jacob not one time said, "Boys, I messed up. I should have stopped Dinah before this thing ever got going good. I should have stopped her before this thing ever happened. I should have stopped you before you done that. I know what you wanted to do. I was mad too, but I should have stopped you and never allowed you to do that." But you know what Jacob's concern was? Did you read it? Jacob wasn't concerned. He didn't say, "Well, I tell you right now, I hate you guys had to do that, but they had it coming. They defiled, they stained, they sold my girl." He didn't say that. All about him. When you become a parent, life shifts gears. Can't be all about you anymore. God's put a bundle of eternity that you are eternally responsible for. You got to direct them in the path that they should go. That's what that means, train up a child. You got to point them in that way, brethren, and shoot the arrow there. Got to do it toward the bent that God has for their life. And then it's on God and them. But that is our responsibility, right? It's our responsibility. Don't be a silent parent. Don't be a slack parent. Don't be a permissive parent. Don't be one of these parents that your children is just, you don't know who they're with, what they're doing, where they are, until somebody comes and tells you. Don't be that parent. All right, keep up with your children. Know what they're doing. Sit down and have meaningful conversation with them. Interact with them. I read something this past week. It just stunned me. I don't doubt it. It was a statistic from the Gallup poll. Said that the average father in America, now don't miss this now, has 7 minutes of meaningful conversation with their children. Not a day, a week. And that breaks my heart. What's going on? We've gotten so tied up in Facebook and Instagram, selfies and what I'm cooking and what I'm doing and where I'm at. And we forgot we have children that we're responsible for. Our favorite little program, we got to binge watch one and binge watch that one instead of binge watching our kids. How about that? Amen. You say, preacher, don't be angry. Well, I am, but not at you. And not at the folks that are allowing this to happen to them. I think we have good parents in our church, but we all could improve. And I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't think I can improve as a pastor, as a father, as a grandfather. And I hope that you haven't got there to where you just think, you know what, I've arrived and everything's just, I think I'm going to put her on coasting from here. No. And we have to sharpen our sword and we have to take a fresh look at what's going on around us. So I want to ask you to stand. Oh, Jacob got slapped. God said, Jacob, I want you to go to Bethel. And he took his time getting there. And in the interval, some very costly things happened. What's God told you to do? God told you, cut that out. God told you, you know, why don't we go a month unplugged? You say, oh, I don't have to do that to prove anything. Yeah. You addicted? Unplug it. What? Your TV. Unplug it. What? Your media, your Facebook. Stay off of it for a month. Unplug Instagram. Unplug Twitter. Say, oh, preacher, I don't have to prove anything. Well, are you addicted? Is that what it is? Just got to pick it up and scroll? You know, they say that's an addiction. That boggles my mind. Boggles my mind that people can get addicted to this. And we think we're all that, Brother Dan. Well, man thinks he, man, I'm this and I'm that, you know, I'm on God. Hey, you can't even control this. Go unplugged. Get your children some good books and read to them. Amen. Go unplugged for a month. You probably never plug in again. You'll see what you're missing. Let's bow our heads together.